So this afternoon, we're going to meditate on the fire element. So the Buddha said to Rahula, "So what is the fire element?" The fire element may be either internal or external. Whatever internally belonging to oneself is fire, fiery, and clung to. That by which one is warmed ages and is consumed. And that by which what is eaten, drunk, consumed, and tasted gets completely digested. So right now, digestion is happening and the fire element is strong. So we become aware of our posture. Relax. Feel stable, sitting. Check in with our body. Take a few deeper breaths. And we can consider the fire element internally. That by which we are warmed. So the warmth on our skin, the heat in our body, and this is a sign of life. A lifeless body has no heat. This is a product of reactions in the body, adjusting our inner temperature according to conditions. So the fire element is helping us. It warms us. But it says it also ages us. Interesting idea. And the fire element is this burning or this chemical reaction, this change. And part of that change is aging. And it says that by which one is consumed. The body is used up. As the result of the process of the fire element. Then we eat and we drink and we taste. And then we digest. And then all of the food and the nutrients and the fluids broken down, absorbed. And this is because of the fire element. And sometimes when the fire element is concerned or concentrated on our digestive system, then our extremities become cold. We might feel cool. On a day like this, probably not so much. Because the fire element isn't only internal, it's also external. The sun, the warmth. The heat. The burning anywhere to create light, to create heat. And of course the fire element, like every other element, at least maybe except for space, has a destructive side to it. When it becomes disturbed, as the Buddha would say, when the fire element is disturbed, then it burns the land, the forests, the meadows. But the internal fire element and the external fire element are the same. We can't own it or control it. We experience it, we feel it, we use it. Very important resource. Digesting our food, cooking our food, warming the body from the inside and from the outside. We couldn't really live without it. So we can appreciate the fire element, the fire. And of course we can also extend the contemplation to the passion that grows within us. Desire that can be good, that can be the desire for awakening, the desire for a beautiful, holy life. And of course it can also be harmful, the passion of greed, hatred. I was going to say, or delusion and delusion. is behind the unwholesome, always. Because when we understand the power of the fire element, we can't control it, but we can make use of it. And we can turn our fire, our passion to what's wholesome and good. And right now we can imagine us sitting here in the fire element. Maybe the flames of spiritual uplift, inspiration arising around us, within us. Making use of this life force that has the heat, the energy to practice, to let kindness, loving kindness be our guide, our inspiration. So when the Buddha tells Rahula, develop the meditation that is like fire, from when you develop meditation that is like fire, arisen agreeable and disagreeable contacts will not invade your mind and remain. What does he mean? So just as people burn clean things and dirty things, excrement, urine, spittle, pus, and blood in fire, and the fire is not repelled, humiliated, and disgusted because of that, so to develop meditation that is like fire, so that these agreeable or disagreeable contacts will not invade your mind and remain. Burning up the thoughts, burning up the feelings. Letting them go, letting them turn to ash and blow away. Unmovable. But powerful, strong. Alive, alert. In a kind of a strange way, calm. Protected. And there's a story of a monk at the time of the Buddha who was sitting in Samadhi in the forest. He was so deep in immersion. When a couple of the local people who came by saw him there, they didn't see any sign of life. Couldn't detect a breath. No movement. They thought, oh, this monk died here, sitting in meditation. we should do the right thing and cremate his body. So they built up sticks and dry grass and put his body on top of it, still in the sitting position, and lit it on fire. With the flames around him, he said, well, we've done our proper duty giving this monk a proper burial, I would say. And they left. The fire doesn't hurt one, it's in deep meditation. And when the monk came out of meditation, even his robes were not even singed, he just stood up and shook them off, shook off the ashes. Took his bowl and walked into town for alms. And the people were shocked and amazed. Open to hearing the Dhamma. You might wonder, what can you learn from this story? The one thing is that we can recognize that not everything works the way we think it does. That spiritual practice leads to amazing insight. Understanding and a true understanding or knowledge of reality. So we meditate with the object of our choice, fire or one of the other elements, and the breath. Or whatever, and we allow ourselves by resolving and letting go of unwholesome states and hindrances to go deep within, with a mind that is really settled and calm. Unaffected by thoughts, sense input perceptions, or maybe even a physical fire. And in that tap, this is where reality can be revealed, to understand things that just we can't make sense of from ordinary consciousness. And for this, we don't need psychic powers. It's just meeting the Dhamma.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.